Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Hello and welcome to Reflection Time. This is your host, Paul Weber, and on our program today, we're going to have a special guest in studio. For those of you who tuned in a couple weeks ago, we had a one-hour special with Chris Hudson, a guest speaker that's been on the Memorial campus for the past couple weeks, sharing a series entitled Exit the Matrix. We had a good turnout, but for those of you who perhaps weren't able to sit in on the presentations, we've got Chris here in the studio again today. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be sharing a discussion on some of the topics that he covered, looking at the, as we always do in this program, the issues facing us in the world, but yet from a biblical perspective. So, Chris, welcome back into the studio again today.
Hey, thanks, Paul.
It's good to have you back. Your series is certainly informative, and I know that the individuals that came out to hear the programs that you were presenting certainly found it eye-opening. It was enlightening for sure.
Yeah.
Much to learn for sure when you look at the issues facing us in the world, and you can make sense of it when you look at it from the biblical perspective, how it all ties in. So, Chris, maybe you just want to share. In this program today, we're going to look at some of the issues that are facing us. In the next program, we want to look more at how the entertainment industry and the music industry ties in to what we're facing in the world today, the globalization and so forth. But in this, the first episode in today's program, we want to look at and discuss the political issues, how things are coming together in the world, and what the scriptures have to say about that. So, Chris, I'll let you you start, just to lead us into this.
Okay, Paul. Well, as we're definitely talking about globalization, it's an issue that each one of us are faced with. It's something that has become a hot topic in the media in the last few years, I would say. And last year, we saw various political figures and religious figures step to the forefront, making some very interesting statements, statements that help us realize that their desire to bring the nations of the world together for economic purposes as well as others, they're really moving full steam ahead with this agenda, and at the same time, they're trying to prepare the masses to be receptive to this new political superstructure. When I speak of various political leaders, for instance, Medvedev at the G8 summit meeting that took place here in Canada, but the one that was prior to that, he came to the forefront and he displayed a new one world currency that he desired to be the reserve currency for the nations in place of the United States dollar. On top of that, just prior to the G8 summit meeting coming together, Pope Benedict XVI released his encyclical letter in which he stated that the governments of our world need to produce a new economic order. They need to develop some type of new world economic order to place our financial situation on a more stable basis. And not only that, but this also needs to be a political authority which has real teeth. And in making all of these statements, he referenced the United Nations as the seat for this one world government structure, which needs to be which needs to experience reform so that it can have the power necessary to enforce the agenda of the one world government structure. So there's some real interesting things going on right now that every person needs to be taking note of. This is a time of extreme interest for any thinking individual, and it's a time in which we can see Bible prophecies are just being fulfilled clearly. It's reading the newspaper now is like reading from the Bible. And I find that awesome because, one, as a Christian, it validates my faith even more that God is real, that his word is faithful, that you can trust him. And two, if the things that God has predicted or prophesied of transpiring in the past are and that would take place presently are coming to pass right now, then we can know that of a surety that the things that he said will transpire in the future, dealing with the second coming of Christ, that we can look forward to that in a I would like to say a short period of time.
Yeah. So what specifically, does scriptures have to say about the unification of, or the globalization of the world coming together?
You know, there's a variety of places in the scripture where, it actually speaks of this globalization, the unification of the nations. The first instance in the scripture where you get a very, good comprehensive overall view of this current political, polarization of the nations is in Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, it speaks of an image that was given in a prophetic dream to a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. He was actually a king over the kingdom of Babylon, ancient Babylon. And the king, the dream that the king had and the image that was within that dream was very intriguing because it was composed of various metals. It had a head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, and feet part of iron and part of clay. And as you study it closely from the scriptures, the Bible lets us know that each one of those metals were symbolic of kingdoms. Matter of fact, it's in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 38, I believe it is. And it says, "And after thee shall arise another kingdom, and the third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth." I believe that's Daniel 2 and verse 39 rather. And in Daniel 2 and verse 38, speaking of a king of Babylon, it said, "Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath God given into thine hand and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." I'm trying to give a quick synopsis of the prophecy, but it just points out clearly that all those metals were symbolic of kingdoms, and a more current day terminology we would use to define a kingdom would be a state. They were all symbolic of worldwide governing political powers. And so we know that the head of gold, being the starting point of the statue, was symbolic of Babylon, and the kingdom that came into existence and ruled over the world after Babylon, according to history and according to the Bible, is Medo-Persia, and then after that would be Greece, and then after that, Rome, as it was going through its pagan phase. And then we get down to the feet of iron and clay, and the iron was symbolic of pagan Rome. The clay in the scriptures is also a symbol of a church. Potter's clay is a symbol of God's people, as we see in Jeremiah 18 and verse 6. God says, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter has done with the clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." And the house of Israel is symbolic of God's people, his children, and God's children always comprise his church. So it speaks of a time in history when God's church would form a union between the pagan Roman Empire. And we saw that in the rise of the what history will at times call the Holy Roman Empire. I call it the Unholy Roman Empire. It's really the Papal Roman Empire. And what's so intriguing about that aspect of the prophecy is the last thing we see are those feet of iron and clay. And then the next thing we see is a stone coming out of nowhere that was cut out without hands, and it hits the image in its feet of iron and clay. And that stone, according to Daniel 2 and verse 44, is symbolic of God setting up his everlasting kingdom on this earth. And we know that it's in the second coming of Jesus Christ that his everlasting kingdom is set up. That stone is symbolic of Jesus, even as the scripture says that Jesus was the stone which the builders rejected, the same as become the head of the corner. And so, in short, in synopsis, the Bible is letting us know that just prior to the second coming of Christ, we're going to see the emergence of a global political structure that are going to unite the factions of both church and state, and the papacy will hold the seat of dominance in this whole fiasco, if you will. So, and it's just amazing to see how the Pope steps to the forefront and he's calling for a new world order. This current Pope, Benedict XVI, and then the leaders of the nations. I think we have a clip here where we'll, you know, hear Gordon Brown and George W. Bush speaking of bringing about a new world order. You know, this is a new common catchphrase amongst the elitists, as some like to call them. You know, the Bible is so trustworthy. And then there's more we can talk about in the book of Revelation 13. But, yeah, well, I guess we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for those of you listening who perhaps aren't hearing of Daniel chapter 2, the prophecy, that for the first time in previous shows, we've discussed this one topic, and that the scriptures not only identifies the metals within the statue, but identifies by name the kingdoms, yes, that are associated with each of these metals. Mm-hmm. You know, and go so far that the kingdom of that followed the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon.
Yes.
You know, it was identified by name.
Yes.
Well in advance of who that would even be.
Yes.
So it's amazing. It's an airtight prophecy.
I mean, amazing.
There's so many things that had to come into play that only the one who knows the end from the beginning would be able to give us that information. That's the God of heaven.
And then there are individuals that would also try to say that, well, what if the book of Daniel was written after these things took place? How do we know? And there's a Jewish historian by the name of Flavius Josephus. He's noted as being one of the foremost historians of Jewish history. And he speaks of the time when Alexander the Great actually approached Jerusalem to overthrow it, and how the priests came out to meet him. And when they came out to meet him, how they also showed him the writings, the prophecies concerning a king of Greece that would come and be ruler over the world. And he saw that as God pointing to himself. These prophecies were in existence prior to Alexander ever even coming to the seat of prominence in this world. Mm-hmm. So history attests to it, and the Bible attests to it. These things are factual, and we can trust it. And like I say, as we're looking in current events right now, in this time in which we're living, we see these things now coming to pass right before our eyes, and it's awesome.
So we see how the scriptures are pointing to this globalization or the unification on this planet.
Yes.
But I do want to play a clip now, which starts out with George W. Bush, followed by George Brown, and then Henry Kissinger.
Yes.
All speaking about this very same subject. So here's the clip.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
I think a new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
there's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world. But I think that at the end of this administration, with all its turmoil, and at the beginning of the next, we might actually witness the creation of a new order, because people looking in the abyss, even in
the abyss,
even
right
in the abyss, even in the Islamic world, have to conclude that at some point, ordered expectations must return under a different system. But you cannot wake up every morning on a road which either this administration will have to travel further, or a new administration. Somewhere along the line, something like this must happen.
That's an appropriate place to end this conversation. And Henry Kissinger, former Secretary of State, we began, as I said, the series of conversations with former Secretaries of State, with people from not just the United States, but other countries, talking about this new world order and where we go from here.
So, Chris, we've listened to those quotes by those three world leaders, and they're all talking about a new world order.
Yes.
And what I find interesting, Chris, when you listen to the media, they often quote these speakers. They'll talk about a new world order. They'll talk about an economic world order that's changing. But they never ask the questions behind the scenes. What is changing? What's the substance to this? Why? Where is this driving towards? But they just quote very superficially, new world order, new economic order. What are your thoughts on that?
The masses as a whole, we place too much trust in other men. I really want to look at the underpinning issue.
Sure.
I think
okay.
We're so caught up in our daily affairs that we're really not, the majority are not taking the time to educate themselves. I don't think they really even have a desire to educate themselves on certain things. We've watched so much television and we've watched so many movies and we read so many novels that to think that there could be some concerted effort by political figures to develop a situation in which, the masses are brought into subjugation, you know, that's just the TV plot. It's fiction, you know, the quote unquote, you know, thinking person, I say the quote unquote thinking person, they just disqualify the fact that there can be anything afoot that is, that's just not right. So, you know, they look at it and say, well, what's so bad about, all the nations coming together? What's so bad about us having one currency? I'd like to go everywhere and just be able to have one type of currency. They're not really thinking.
People look at it very superficially.
Yes.
And people have a very lethargic viewpoint of politicians.
Right.
They'll say, you do your own thing, just don't disturb what I'm doing to myself, and, you know, we'll all be happy type thing.
Right.
They don't see the link as having a direct impact on them.
Right.
You know, in the world in which they live, in their everyday lives, which
yes.
We see that coming.
And the lethargy that the populace are under, it's not happenstance, if you understand my point. It's not happenstance. That as well has been contrived by the same individuals that are throwing out these little innuendos to what they have in mind for us all. That's for our greater quote unquote greater good, once again.
Yeah, but yet we see, you know, what's really reported on the news is even very superficial. You
right.
know, we never hear the substance of, you know, did we hear the substance of what takes place in the G8 and the G20 meetings?
Right.
We never hear that. We hear the security issues they face and the cost that they lay out for the security. We hear the world leaders flying in and that type of thing.
Right.
But you never get to the meat of the issues. And it's almost as if we're not allowed to hear the meat of the issues of what they're discussing and where it's leading to and, you know, what's being put together.
Exactly. It's the trickle that we just get the remainders of everything else. Mm-hmm. And for instance, like let's just give an example of that. When Pope Benedict XVI released this encyclical letter that obviously was important enough for world leaders like Obama mm-hmm. and Medvedev to meet with him mm-hmm. prior to their G8 summit meetings. Mm-hmm. The majority didn't hear anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
All we heard on the television and on the radio was the fact that Michael Jackson was dead mm-hmm. and they're having this monstrous, you know, service to honor the death of Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God bless, you know, I'm sorry that Michael Jackson died. He's a human being. God wants to save everybody in his kingdom. So the loss of one person is felt by everybody. But nonetheless, there was something that was going on that affected the lives of people that are still here, breathing, moving, trying to raise families and so forth and so on. And we didn't hear anything about that. And it's not equal in importance. It was paramount in importance to what was going on with Michael Jackson. But yet mm-hmm. that was the only thing that got media coverage. Yeah. We have to ask ourselves, well, why?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what is the ultimate goal of the reunification or the globalization of the world?
Well, the ultimate goal supersedes what these men have on their minds as the agenda. The ultimate goal is what the power that is driving them has as mm-hmm. his agenda, if you understand what I'm saying. Because we can keep this on a political plane, but then we'll really miss the meat of the issue. And the meat of the issue is the supernatural conflict that is transpiring behind the scenes. And that we're really just seeing, we're seeing the product of the controversy that's transpiring. Mm-hmm. And the controversy that's going on behind the scenes is directing the movements of these men that have a desire to amass wealth, have a desire most of all to amass power, because you can clearly see that most of these men that are a part of this plan, they already have huge sums of wealth, but there's a desire for power that they're trying to quench that desire. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians 6 and verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so I love the end phrase of that scripture. I always like to point to it because it says we're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places, letting us know that there are supernatural entities working upon the mind of men that are in positions of prominence to carry out their agendas. So it's not necessarily these men, but because they have yielded themselves to being used by the enemy, the devil, and his fallen angels, and they've yielded themselves to this, they can be utilized to they're just pawn pieces on the chessboard, to make it very simple. And to get back to some more pointed prophecy dealing with exactly that, in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, I believe it is, it says, "And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast," there's a colon there, "and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And that first beast of Revelation, chapter 13, is primarily, it's specifically speaking of the papacy. But that scripture is letting us know when the world is brought into a position to pay homage to the papacy, in essence, the devil is using the papacy as a medium to bring homage to himself. Because the Bible speaks of the devil as the dragon in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, which says that great dragon which was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So,
And said mm-hmm. in those terms, people mm-hmm. would ask, how could that be? How could that come to pass?
Right.
But when it's cloaked in a form of deception,
yes,
when you cloak it in apparently good terms that, well, what's wrong with coming together? What's wrong with unification? What's wrong with a common currency?
Right.
You know, what's wrong with solving some of the problems we have in the world?
Right.
It's not an issue of not, you know, these high ideas of solving the problems in the world. It's what's the underlying agenda to lead to that.
Exactly.
And it's the, you know, that's what makes it deceptive.
Yes.
You know, everybody, there's not one person on this planet that does not want to solve the problems that we face on this earth. You know, there's a lot of improvement, a lot of betterments that can be made.
Right.
But when it's deceptive to lead to another end other than just solving these problems, that's what people miss.
Yes. What's going on is they're preying on common interests of society to bring us together. If mm-hmm.
For instance, you know, yes. just because the people's apparent lack of security
right.
and the fear that they have.
Yes.
Well, let's address that. Let's remove the fear from people's lives. Make sure they're secure.
Right.
Those are noble attributes.
Right.
But what's the agenda yes. behind the scenes to get us there?
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's the deceptive part.
That is the deceptive part, and that's the scary part actually. And it's wow. You know, I'm trying to pick and choose my words wisely. I don't want this program to turn to a different direction than we need to go. But, you mentioned something and you said fear. You know, there's no greater tool than fear to bring about changes. You know, if somebody really wanted to get us out of the room that we're in right now producing this radio program in, if they mm-hmm. ran in here, and they screamed fire and they had a convincing look on their face. You know, you might just hear the microphones dropping.
We'd be
in
there.
That's it. Yeah. Right. And they could laugh and walk in here and do what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Because fear is a great impetus to move somebody. Unfortunately, men are using this tool of fear to bring about changes. And that should not be surprising, because even in the scripture, the Lord speaks of this. He talks about, don't fear the one that can destroy your body. Fear the one that can destroy the whole of you. I'm paraphrasing the scripture, mm-hmm. not just your body, but the whole of your being. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When you have power and you have love and you have a sound mind, mm-hmm. you know, you're clear.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be moved by fear.
Right, yeah.
But an environment has been produced in our society in which people are sitting on their seats and, like in the United States of America, they keep the level of security. They just keep it all the way up top. It's at the top all the time. Mm-hmm. Aren't you? So we're always sitting on the edge of our seat saying, any moment now, something can happen.
What's
and so,
next?
Yes. Yeah, so if they say, well, you know, we can do this to prevent, mm-hmm. you know, problem from happening, then everybody will say, well, we're willing to do it because we don't want to lose everything that we've been working so hard for.
Yeah.
And yeah, go ahead.
And but you know, there's also Christ talks about that himself.
Yes.
He says, you know, my peace I give you, not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that I have.
Exactly.
You know, the peace that we think from a worldly perspective, all the evil attributes around us have to stop, whether it's the storms or the wars. I mean, noble ideas.
Yes.
But Christ says, I give you peace amid the storm.
Yes, amen.
No matter what's taking place, uh-huh. you don't have to fear because you have my peace.
That's it. And to just piggyback on you, I love what you just brought up. You know, we clearly see in the Bible that man does not have the ability to produce an environment of peace for all humanity. It's not possible. You know, they're realizing right now, Rick Warren at the, well, it wasn't the last Davos meeting, maybe two Davos meetings from the last one. He made a statement and he said, the leaders of the world, whether they like it or not, they're going to have to accept this, that the future of our world is religious pluralism.
Hmm.
You know? And he's talking about ecumenicism, something that was started at the Council of Laodicea by the papacy. Mm-hmm. You know, you see their ideas coming right to the forefront, and they're saying their point here, just like, oh, sorry about that, just like the Pope said in his encyclical letter, that this new world political authority, not only will it have to deal with matters of state, but it's going to have to be governed by Christian principles, because mm-hmm. good sentiments of men are not good enough. So he's saying that this new world global superstructure, it's going to have to unite both church and state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Christ is the only one that has the ability to rule in a government that unites the factions of church and state without bringing about persecution on people.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. every time we can see it in any society, whenever they unite church and state, there's always a group that gets persecuted. Always.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
somebody's targeted.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So man is not capable of develop. Man is not capable. Like communism, I guess in theory, communism kind of sounds like it's good because, oh, everybody's supposed to be even, you know, everything is on even playing ground. But you see what happens in a communistic government structure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They have the haves, and then they have the really, you just don't have anything, you know?
Have nots, just put it lightly. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Chris, our first, you know, program has quickly come to an end, you know.
Okay.
In our next program, we're going to look a little bit more about this ecumenical movement,
mm-hmm.
and also the significance that the entertainment and the music industry is tying into this, you know, because we see that has a dramatic effect, especially on the younger population.
Most certainly.
But before we go, I know that if you would be willing to share some of the information that people, if they want to see some more, hear some more, you have a number of YouTube presentations that they could.
Oh, sure. If anybody's interested in taking a look at some videos that we've produced on the internet, you can go to youtube.com/ the Forerunner, TheForerunner 777. Once again, that's youtube.com/ The Forerunner, TheForerunner 777. And there's a lot of information over there. You can share with your friends, families, coworkers, people that deem themselves as your enemies, whatever. Get the word out there.
Yeah, so that's YouTube, The Forerunner 777.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions or comments here at on the radio program, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. That's radioreflection@yahoo.ca. And do tune in next week as we will continue this discussion with Chris Hudson. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.